Pastor of Tongues.
Do you want fellowship time first? Fellowship time?
Oh, I forgot that. Let's shake hands.
Give me a chance to stand up.
And
stay safe. Sorry, I think
I already got you.
Coming over this way?
Maybe a mile. Just put it in this.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Julie? Do you want to come a little closer? You guys can stay there, Emmy and Sharon. Well, I'm just telling Julie she can come a little closer. That's why I moved up closer, and she moved further back. Okay. Is Ron? Must be. Go ahead and open your Bibles to Book of Revelation. And, Book of Revelation, chapter 9. And I'll start off a little bit of review because Steve wasn't here last week, neither was Ron. And kind of to jump into this chapter might be a little confusing because tonight we're looking at the trumpet judgments, part B. So last week was part A. So it went through the first four trumpet judgments with chapter 8. But chapter 9 continues on the same theme, the trumpet judgments. And it goes through the next two trumpet judgments, 5 and 6. And if we go back, we think about what happened last week. We learned about the trumpet judgment number 1 was the angel blew the horn, and hail and fire came down from heaven. And it burned up the grass and the trees. A third of all vegetation upon the earth was consumed. And then we see also the second trumpet blast. And a mountain, imagine a large mountain. And I think about this, I think of maybe Mount Everest or some large mountain. And imagine this. It falls out of the sky down into the ocean. And just a small earthquake creates tremors and can cause a tsunami. Well, imagine this large mountain falling into the ocean. And imagine the how it shook the earth. It probably went down to the very depths, shook the ground, caused a tsunami that wiped out a third of all the sea life. Also, all the ships, a third of the ships, and all the cities on the coasts. A third of them were wiped out. And then we have the third trumpet judgment in chapter 8. And this is where a star also came down, or many stars possibly, and all the rivers, a third of them were turned to wormwood, which is a bitter, it's used as alcohol, and it's very bitter and poisonous if you would drink it. And so the water became that was fresh is now bitter. And then we had the fourth one, which affected, not only do we have the vegetation, the sea life, and the fresh water, but also it says here the sun, moon, and stars. A third of them were also affected. And what from my kind of figure is that it's probably some type of lunar eclipse or some other way that God is able to affect a third of these things. But then we continue on tonight. We continue on in these number 5 and 6. But the end of chapter 8, verse 13, he gives a little introduction. And verse 13 says, "And I looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of the heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because of the remaining blasts of the trumpet of the three of the angels are about to sound." The trumpet of the three angels were about to sound. And so we have here the last three remaining trumpets. As the seals, the seventh seal was opened, you had the trumpet beginning to blast. Same way with the last blast of the seventh trumpet. In chapter 16, it opens up the bowl judgment. So tonight, we will not see the seventh trumpet. We'll see just 5 and 6. And in 5 and 6 are very disturbing pictures that John is able to see in the future. And that's why tonight I've asked the kids to go step outside, because this is a very disturbing passage. It's also one of the many people, as I look through commentaries, mentioned that this passage is really difficult to understand. It talks about five is a group of people that are going to war against humans and will torture them for 5 months. And then the sixth blast comes, and a different group of people are going to come and war against the people on the earth. And they are not just going to torture them, but they're going to kill them. And then also we see here that these are not just any type of people, but they are fallen angels that we now call demons. And they are going to, God is going to allow them, just like he allowed Job to suffer at the hands of Satan. He's going to allow all those unrepentant who do not have the mark of Jesus, they will suffer. And so all these people who are unrepentant believers, unrepentant humans upon the earth who reject Jesus as a Savior, they are going to experience this demonic influence. And it kind of reminds me today, if we look at our movies, more and more, it seems like they're becoming more and more, the world sees is demonic. Sometimes when you watch a movie, you might see a different preview. It's some other movie, and we just kind of fast forward through them because they're so demonic. And it's something we don't even want to look upon. But tonight, as we look at this passage, God wanted us to read about this in the future. What's going to take place? And he wants us to understand there is a purpose for what he is doing. As we look at tonight, we begin to see that, yes, God is holy, and he's going to deal with sin, Satan, and all those who reject his son, Jesus. And so as we look at tonight, this picture of these two warring demonic forces that are going to come with a fifth blast who are going to torture humans for 5 months, and then the sixth blast is where another warring demonic body comes and they actually kill humans. And think about it, right at the point of the rapture, some people estimate that the Christianity is possibly 1 billion people upon the earth. What is it, 7 billion now or 6 billion? I can't remember what the figure is. They say 1 billion people are Muslim, 1 billion people are Christian. So Christian. But when the rapture happens, all those who are true professing believers will be taken off the earth. And then also we have here that first seal judgment. It's mentioned that a third of all people that remained are then killed. But we see here also tonight, then also another third are going to die during this judgment time. And so imagine, if you think about the rapture and these first two, 6 and also 8 and 9, these two judgments, we begin to see that almost half the world's population, if it was today, if the rapture would happen today, half the world's population has died. And so imagine today from 7 billion down to 3.5. Is that right? Yes. 3.5 billion people lost their lives in a very short time. Also, some of the Christians were taken off the earth. And so we have here is that a lot of things are happening into earth. And God is shaking the foundations of all these people, saying, wake up. In chapter 6, we've seen how that the people recognize that God is judging the earth. And people recognize that He is God and He controls the whole earth. And it says that they flee into mountains to hide themselves from the Almighty God. And they wish that the rocks would fall upon them to kill them because they feared for their lives. They knew it was God alone who was judging them. But yet they did not return to God in repentance. But as we look at tonight, these last two judgments, as we've seen gone through these judgments, they get worse and worse. And I'm going to read chapter 9. Please follow as I read. And it says here, then a fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth. And to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. And then out of the smoke locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And they were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth, or any green thing, or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And in verse 5 it says, and they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. The shape of the locust was like the horses prepared for battle. On their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. They had hair like woman's hair, and their teeth were like lion's teeth. And verse 9, and they had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. They had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. Their power was to hurt men for 5 months. And they had as a king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon. But the Greek, he has the name Apollyon. One woe is past. Behold, still two more woes are coming after these things. Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and the day and the month and the year were released to kill a third of mankind. Now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them. And in verse 17, and thus I saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, hyeth blue, and sulfur yellow. And the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions, and out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and brimstone. By these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed, by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone, which came out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails are like serpents, having heads, and with them they do harm. But the rest of mankind, who were not killed by these plagues, it says here, did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and the idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders, of their sorceries, or their sexual immorality, or their thefts. And so sadly, think about this situation that's taking place. Verses 1 through 12 talks about this first trumpet, fifth trumpet blast. And Satan himself is given a key to open up these demonic forces that are held captive. And then we see in verse 13, then it says also the sixth trumpet blast. And this is where the second force comes in. And four angels, it said here, this angel blasts its sixth trumpet. And then these four angels come. And it says here in verse 15, so the four angels who have been prepared for the hour and the day and the month and year will be released to kill a third of mankind. So think about these. It says here in verse 16, and the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them. So think about this situation, is that God is serious about dealing with sin. And if you look at these two army forces, God is going to release, and he's going to judge mankind. And also, when you look at Corinthians, whole purpose of church discipline was to bring people back into fellowship. And God wants these people to repent. He is long and patient. And then during the tribulation, he is even gracious and waiting. But yet, it says here, many at the end of this chapter, verses 20 and 21, will not repent, sadly. They will not repent of their sin. They will not turn from the sin. They love the sin more than the Savior. They love to this their murder, their sorcery, their idol worship, rather than loving the Savior and receiving Jesus Christ's death on the cross for their sins. And so as we look at this passage, let's open a word of prayer. Father, thank you for being able to look at this passage tonight. May we gain a greater understanding of who you are and how you view sin. Also, may we be able to understand the future events, and may we desire in our hearts to be more willing to share this message, so we will not see any of our loved ones and our friends and those we know here in the city go into this time. And may you give us a desire to love them and also to love you. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. As we looked at chapter 1 of Book of Revelation, I mentioned how the Book of Revelation, it was new to me, is not just about a future apocalypse, but it's about revealing Jesus Christ. It's the revealing of who he is. We begin to see these visions of Jesus, how he's involved with the churches, and now we begin to see how he's involved with the future events in judging sin. But as we look at verse 1, it says here, then the fifth angel sounded. And so we've looked at chapter 8, the first four trumpet judgments, and now we look at the fifth angel who sounds his trumpet. And then John says here, and I saw a star. And this star, I was kind of wondering what it was leading to. I'd heard some things in the past, but as I looked into it, many people all agree that this star refers to Satan. He is the fallen angel. And of his past actions. And then the word of this here is not a yeah, it's as has passed. His past action has results in the future. So he is the fallen star from heaven. And to Satan, was given the key to the bottomless pit. And so if you look at Jude and other passages in Scripture, it talks about how that Jesus, when he kicked Satan and his other fallen angels out of heaven, some he sent down to the bottomless pit, some for eternal judgment. They will never leave that judgment. But some here will find out he will release. And he will release them for a short time, for this five-month period. And so Satan here is given the key to release these fallen angels who were kept until this time. Verse 2, it says here, "And he opened the bottomless pit," speaking of Satan, "and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace." And reminds me of another passage in the Old Testament that talks about Daniel, how this great furnace that so consumed, even people went into anywhere near this furnace, they were consumed. And so this pit that was so consuming has smoke coming out of it. And that's where these people are kept for their judgment for all this time. It says here, "He opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit." You think about it, during the rapture, all Christians upon the earth are all taken. And think about it, without our restraining force on the earth, havoc will break out. So this first 3.5 years, the Antichrist comes to power. And we see war and famine, earthquakes, all these judgments before this, where mountains are falling to the sea, hail and fire. But we see here, it says here, he opens this pit, and then, so the sun and air were darkened. And all these demonic hosts, and what's their purpose? You look at the time of Jesus. They possess people and cause them to hurt themselves. And so think about this, how the world is darkened. Not only is the smoke coming up, causing not to be able to see the sun, but the world itself, this world system is darkened. And so it's a very dark and gruesome picture because of the smoke of the pit. And then verse 3, it says here, "Then out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth." So think about this. From this smoke, when it's first released, you couldn't see anything. But now you begin to see what appears to be symbolically locusts. Think about the plagues to the Egyptians. But these are not just any ordinary locusts. Because as we'll see in this passage, it says like or as. And so many times he doesn't have words to explain these creatures that he begins to see. And so John says in verse 3, "Then out of the smoke locusts came upon the earth." And it says here, "To them was given power." And so who's giving this power? Ultimately, God. Even in this situation, God is in control. And he gives permission for this to take place, for Satan to judge and to punish. Because Satan ultimately does not want anyone to come to repentance. And we see here a third of mankind dying, being tortured and then dying. But we see here Satan does not want any to come to repentance. He wants to destroy God's plan. But yet, God allows it for a time. He gives them the power. It says here, "These scorpions are as scorpions of the earth have power." And so when a scorpion stings you, it causes great pain and suffering. And so the same way these demons from the bottomless pit are able to harm humans. Verse 4, "And they were commanded not to harm the grass or the grass of the earth, any green thing or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads." Think about it. God also is, not only is he control and giving these demons the permission, but also he's saying here, "I am going to protect my own." And even in this great time, after all Christians are taken up to earth, he then sends these 144,000 who then share the gospel, and all those who have been sealed by the Holy Spirit are now protected by God. And it says here in verse 4, "And they were commanded not to harm." And so these demonic forces should not harm like normal locusts. They do not harm the vegetation and the green things in any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And so their whole purpose in God's own plan is to harm. That was their purpose. And then verse 5, it says here, "And they were not given authority to kill them." So again, you see also God's sovereignty in this situation. He says, they did not have the power. You think about when Job was tested. God said, you cannot touch him, kill him, but you can punish him by taking his servants, taking all of his wealth and his crops and his sheep and his livestock. But then he also took his children. Then he also caused boils on him. But he said, you cannot take his life. The same way we see here, all these unbelievers, God says, you cannot kill them, only torture them for 5 months. He is again, think about it, graciously saying, you know what, even in your suffering during this 5 month period, I am still giving you a chance to repent and come back to me. And it's also, I feel, many testimonies I've heard where someone is the point where they're in an army battle, or I remember an individual man at a church in Mason City who said he was going down a river and he was caught in a place where he was spinning and he thought he was going to die, and he cried out to God. It's always in those situations where we recognize that we need God. And God is using this situation in these people's lives here on earth, rest of this half population that we have here today. He's saying, you, I'm going to give you 5 months. I'm going to bring you to your breaking point. Trust in me. So it says here, and they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. Think about this. These individuals are going to suffer greatly. And then in verse 6 it says, in those days men will seek death and will not find it. And I think about this, this is kind of a difficult thing for us to understand. How is it possible for a person who wants to die to not experience it? You think about it, couldn't he just jump off a cliff or cause some reason to die? But here it says right here, it says, men will seek death and they cannot find it. And we don't really understand completely what is taking place. But God's not going to allow them. He's going to allow them to be tortured for this 5 month time period. They will desire to die and death will flee from them. Kind of reminds me when I was in college, on a smaller scale, going through the college was many people were going through this really tragic sickness. And at first you're like, oh no, I'm going to die. And then a lot of people were saying, then at the end, I wished I was going to die because it was so terrible. Headaches, dizziness, vomiting, all kinds of stuff. And you felt awful. The same way these people were going through this terrible time for 5 months. And yet they will not even be able to kill themselves. And then verse 7 it says, the shape of the locusts. We begin to see here the description of verses 7 through 10 is the description of these demons. The shape of these locusts was like horses. Again, we begin to see in 10 times these next verses that they're like or as. They're like, the locust was like horses prepared for battle. And so they're getting ready for battle. And on their heads and crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. And so they begin to see what these actually demons from this bottomless pit look like. And so he says they're kind of like scorpions. They're kind of like locusts. And when he says locusts, I believe it's because when in the Jewish time, they understood when locusts came into the area, they were such a great number, they could not see the sun. And they just ate everything. Down through the history, we've had several instances in the 1950s where locusts came and ate all the vegetation in the Middle East. And so the Jewish people understood this. And so when these demons come out, we begin to see the smoke, but then we begin to see what coming out of this smoke is this multitude of demonic forces. And so they're like horses prepared for battle. On their heads and crowns were something like gold, and on their faces like the faces of men. Think about their heads, these crowns, they were the victors. They're going to accomplish their purpose that God has set out for them. And they're invincible, unstoppable, and they're conquering all the earth. And it says their faces are faces of men. That symbolizes their rational ability, that they're intelligent beings. Not just a mere scorpion, but they are very intelligent. In verse 8 it says, they had hair like woman's hair. And so it could be that it's just long hair, but also could be that the fact that the woman, it's seductive, and it causes people upon the earth to desire to find out what they are, and then they are tortured by these scorpions, these demons. And it says here, and their teeth were like lion's teeth. And in verse 9 it says here, and they had breastplates like a breastplate of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of many chariots. And to hear this great sound coming causes fear in people. And with many horses running into battle. So you hear the horses, you hear the wings, and you have these breastplates like iron. And then verse 10 it says, and they had tails like scorpions, and they were their stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men for 5 months. And so God designed to punish men and to bring them to repentance. But ultimately, God knows the beginning and the end. He knows all who will trust in Him. But He is gracious in saying, I am even going to wait a little longer. But then we see here in verse 11, and this is where 11 and 12, and they had as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit. And some believe this could be possibly referring to Satan, also one of Satan's higher demonic leaders. And so they had as a king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek his name is Palion. So we have here, even John is able to see this great leader, or not great leader, this terrible leader. And he sees him. And you imagine seeing what's taking place, how John looks upon the earth, and he sees these wicked, demonic beings. And then he sees how they're harming mankind. And then he sees this great, this terrible leader, and how what they're doing to all mankind. And then John says in verse 12, and one woe is past. Behold, still more woes are coming after these. And so you think about it, you've seen the first four judgments, and now you've seen number 5. And then he says number 6 through verses 13 through 21. And he says here, the next two are going to be worse. And he says here, we're going to see just number 6, but then 7 then comes in chapter 16. So we see here in verse 13 is the sixth trumpet blast. And then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. Remember, I talked about this altar of incense before, how that's where the hail and fire came from. The angel cast it to the earth. But now this same angel possibly says here, then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. And so these are not just, these four angels it's speaking of are not God's angels, but they are bound. They are demonic forces. It says here in verse 14, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, so who just made this blast, release these four angels. Release them who are bound at the great river Euphrates. And so this is the army to the east. We have the army from the bottomless pit, and now we have from John's standpoint, the army from the east. And he says, release these four angels. And it could be possibly actually four angels, or it could be symbolic of saying that these are angels have the power over nations. And could be like, think of the four of Greece and Rome, Babylon and Assyria. These same forces that we have back then, he says they have the power to possess and to control these nations. And it says here, verse 15, so the four angels who have prepared for the hour and the day and the month and the year. And so God is saying, these four angels, what was their purpose? Who had been prepared for the hour and the day and the month and the year. He prepared them for this specific purpose, and they were released to kill a third of mankind. And so at the end of this judgment, half of mankind, from the time of the rapture till this point, will die. In verse 16 it says, "And now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. And so think about it, if these four angels are corrupting these four nations, now they have with them many armies of these here, 200 million. And I heard the number of them." And so John is saying here, "I've heard the number of them." But yet it's not just a regular army. Because if we look at verse 17, it's not people. Because in verses 17 through 19, we begin to see they are not people, but they are the ability out. They're not just normal humans. It says here in verse 17, "And thus I saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth blue, and sulfur yellow." And so this is a bright fiery red, a dark blue, and then a bright yellow. And it says here, "And the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions." And so he's trying to describe this thing that he cannot describe. It wasn't just a mere human, but it was something different. So it had a head of a lion, and out of their mouths came the fire, smoke, and brimstone. So think about these horses and their riders. And out of the mouth comes fire, smoke, and brimstone. Think about it, how that is what's going to torture and also kill a third of mankind. In verse 18 it says, "By these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed, by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which came out of their mouths." And so these 200 million, I heard the number of them. And so these demonic horses and riders are going to go out and to think about it. They're going to burn people. The smoke is going to take away your oxygen. And then brimstone is a gas. It's going to consume you. And so this both is fire, choking, and gas is how they're going to die. And then verse 19 it says, "For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails are like serpents, having heads, and with them they do harm." So think about this. Imagine John. He's seen the picture of Jesus in chapter 1. And then he's seen the picture and the condition of the churches that he ministered into. And then in 4 and 5, he sees God the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. He begins to see all these hymns. And then chapter 6 is the half hour of silence and begins to see all this chaos and destruction taking place. And then we come to this point where actually God is allowing demons to burn, to choke, and to gas humans. And it says here in verse 20, "But the rest of mankind who were not killed," so half the population at the time of the rapture now are gone. And so half that are left, he says, "those that are not killed by these plagues did not repent of their works of their hands. And they should not worship the idols of gold, silver, brass, and stone, and wood which can neither see nor hear nor walk." Sadly, it says, many of these people who will go through this great time of suffering for the purpose of giving them time to trust in Jesus, because of these many witnesses are going out and sharing the gospel, they would rather turn to idols that cannot walk, cannot see, than trust in the living God. It says here that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass and stone and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. Sadly, these people will rather worship the beast, worship the Antichrist, worship Satan, even worship idols made of hands, than to recognize the Almighty God. And it says here in verse 21, and they did not repent of their murders, of their sorceries, and of their sexual immorality, or their thefts. So we see here, of all the Ten Commandments, we see here the first and second, how they should worship God alone and then also not worship idols. We see here also the sixth command, that they should not murder. We also see the fourth command, they should not commit seventh command, they should not commit sexual immorality. And also the fifth command, they should not have thefts. And so what we see here is that God is saying they are sinners and they deserve what they're receiving. But think about this message tonight. It's sobering to think about what's going to take place when we are gone. And what God is going to do to those who do not turn and receive Jesus as their Savior. But you might think, well, what's the relevance of this in our lives today? It's kind of like, think about it, if you think about what is the relevance of Genesis. If we didn't have the book of Genesis, we would not have creation, the story of Noah, the Tower of Babylon, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All these stories we wouldn't know. The same way God wants us to know this, He wants to know the future events after our lifetime. He wants to know that He is in control. And He is going to allow this for His own purposes. And He is just in doing this. But think about it. Jesus also said in the Gospels, what is the greatest commandment? He responded to this question. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and also love your neighbor as yourself. In Matthew chapter 22. And ultimately, can we do that on our own? Can we love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, and love our neighbor perfectly? No. The same way that these demons are to come and possess humans and do wicked things, He says we need to yield to the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2 says how we need to be living sacrifices. We need to surrender to the Holy Spirit, allow Him to live through us and honor Himself. So if you think about this message tonight, it's shocking to hear of these stories of what God is going to do to punish sin. But ultimately, He is just in doing that. And also for us, we need to recognize we as well need to yield. The same way these people are going to be controlled by these demonic forces, we as well, when we are controlled by the Spirit, we're able to fulfill that command that Jesus gave to love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind, and then to love our neighbor as ourself. So I hope each day you desire to read in God's Word and to know it. And also, we just watched a film a few weeks ago about the prayer. And if you didn't have tears from that movie and moved you, the Spirit's probably not in you, because that's what God wants us to be, is to completely, I know it's something I want to work in my life, is prayer. And to have that same relationship that they symbolized in this movie of being completely surrendered to Him and taking all of our cares to Him and trusting Him to change them, not relying on our own strength. And so that's the message I brought you tonight, is that as you think about all that's going to take place in the future, we as well here today, we need to be yielded to the Spirit and allow Him to fulfill these two commands of loving God and also loving our neighbors ourselves. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, thank You for allowing us to be able to look at the book of Revelation these past few weeks. We learned more about who You are. You've revealed more about Jesus Christ and who You are, God the Father. We just thank You for this book. We also thank You how You showed us the future. And lots of times we want to know what's going on in our life, but we can look at the future and know that You are in control and You will accomplish Your purposes in our life and also in the lives of others. We just thank You for how you love us, and how you've given us salvation, may we as well be willing to share the gospel message with all those we meet. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.